This podcast is a production of KCRW and KCRW.com Santa Monica. If you enjoy this program, check out KCRW.com for more than 20 additional programs that you can podcast. Support comes from the fully employed MBA program at Pepperdine University's Grazia Deo School of Business and Management. For information, log on to bschool.pepperdine.edu.
From KCRW in Santa Monica, I'm Claude Brodesser-Ackner, and this is The Business.
So you still want to do the show business, and you think that you got what it takes? I mean, you really got to rap and be all that, but prepare yourself for the breaks. Check it out.
This week on The Business, the directors seem to have made a deal with the studios. Will the writers follow suit? Should they? We're live today with four-time Emmy-winning writer-producer David Milch and Oscar-winning filmmaker Paul Haggis to answer these questions and more. But first, what exactly did the Directors Guild agree to? Joe Adalian is one of the reporters covering the strike for Variety. Hey, Joe, how you doing?
I'm fine, CBA. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too. How you been?
I've been doing fine.
You guys have been working pretty hard, I think.
It has been a crazy couple of days. You know, the strike's been going on for 10 weeks, 11 weeks. It feels like about 5 months. We're over in war mode here still at Variety.
So in the simplest English possible, give us the executive summary of the director's tentative deal with the producers so that my mom would understand this.
Well, all right. First of all, depending upon who you ask, this is it could be a really great deal for the directors and potentially the writers. If you believe John Wells, the guy who exec produces ER and used to run the Writers Guild as the president, he called it a genuinely landmark deal, that he says it's the best deal that anyone in show business has negotiated with the company in 20 years. And essentially, the big point is that it establishes a way for writers to get paid when their shows are streamed on the internet or when people download them through iTunes. Even though writers have been paid before, they were paid piddly. They weren't paid much at all. And this establishes a formula that gives them about, a 0.7 on the dollar for every dollar that's sold. So it's something. And it establishes a way for people to move forward into this brave new world of electronic media that nobody really knows how big the business is going to be. But what this does is it says, all right, here's a formula, here's a starting point, and let's go back in 3 years and revisit it.
Mm-hmm. Now, what does it mean that the payments for these downloads, you mentioned piddly before, that the payments for these downloads under the new proposed deal with directors, that they'll be based on distributors' gross instead of what has been usually called by the writers the hated home video formula?
Well, as Claude, as you know, there's not a lot of trust in Hollywood between the people who make the product and the people who distribute it. Hollywood accounting is famous. There have been many lawsuits when people think that they have a contract that promises them one thing, and then the studios have found many, many ways to say that, well, even though we promise you 20% of how much this movie made, you're actually only going to get up with about 1% because they can find all sorts of funny formulas. What this does is it allows for, it doesn't allow for the companies to shift off the money to something called producer's gross, which could be anything. They could set up a shadowy sort of umbrella corporation to sort of say that NBC X is the producer of this, and they only made $5 off this, so therefore you're only getting 50 cents.
So the creativity will be kept on the page and not in the accounting.
Allegedly, yes. Ah. And it means that essentially if it's NBC Universal, the NBC network that's distributing this and putting this out there, it's how much money they make, not how much money some shadow corporation that we create to screw you over makes.
Mm-hmm. So if a Fox movie winds up on Fox TV, the Fox is not guarding the hen house.
Yes, Claude.
See what I did there?
It's watching magic live.
So tell me, Joe, how far is the director's deal from what the writers have been asking for?
It depends upon whom you ask, but to me it looks it's about a half to three quarters of the way there. On certain issues such as the actual amount of how much they're going to get paid for this new media, they're only about a third of the way there. Some people have hoped for 1.2%, and they're getting about 0.7, so that's about halfway there. But on other things, they made lots of progress. In some cases, John Wells told me last week that he thinks we got more than we ever thought we could get, or that he thought that they could get, in terms of getting the distributors gross, in terms of getting jurisdiction for the internet, which basically says that if you develop a show from an internet-only show from, say, an episode of Lost, that's covered by the Writers Guild. It has to be written by the Writers Guild. It has to be paid according to the contract minimums. So there definitely is a lot of progress made there, but they didn't get everything. And of course, there's still some issues that the directors can't negotiate for the writers, such as separated rights. And that's where if you have, again, if you create a character, say remember on The Office, there were webisodes that were spun off of The Office that NBC aired over the summer. Let's say 6 years from now, someone decides, NBC Universal decides to make a movie based upon those. Well, right now, there's nothing that gives that writer any protection. That's something that needs to be worked out. So that's still a big thing that needs to be worked out.
So things that are still not going to – no one's going to get exactly what they want here. But
right. And the big question also, Claude, is whether or not the writers will give up on reality and animation, which is something that they've said privately all along, sure, we will, as long as you give us what we really want. But the big question now is, will the leadership of the Guild actually give up on that, as the negotiating committee has hinted they will?
And, of course, reality TV has been the hammer with which the producers have been beating the writers during the entire strike. Now, I want to ask you a question here. Why do you think the directors were able to make a deal so quickly? And why did the producers offer them things that they hadn't offered the writers?
Once again, it depends upon whom you ask. If you ask the Leslie Moonvises of the world, it's because the directors approached us like grown-ups. They had informal discussions beforehand, and they kept everything off the record and out of the public eye and didn't take to the streets. They did this like businessmen and like partners. If you ask the writers, it's because this has been their position all along. The producers have always thought that maybe the directors would be a little less hardcore and would negotiate a better deal or a bad deal, and so the whole plan all along was simply to wait till the directors got in and negotiate some sort of sweetheart deal and really screw over the writers. But what funny thing happened is, perhaps because the producers underestimated how strong the Writers Guild was, the directors seem to have gotten a really good deal. Based upon a lot of moderates within the Writers Guild who believe that the directors did a great deal, it looks as if the producers were hoping that they would be able to get some sort of easy deal from the directors. That didn't happen. It looks like real progress was made, again, if you believe them. There are hardliners who think that the directors did nothing, that they didn't really take advantage of the leverage, and they still negotiated yet another crappy deal.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you, do you think the producers planned all along on settling with the directors first?
No. I actually think that there were people within most of the companies who really wanted to find a way to make a deal. Let's remember also that for months before the formal negotiations began, the AMPTP was saying, let's get together and talk, and the writers said, we're not ready yet. Now, who knows if they had talked starting back last January, who knows if they would have ever gotten a deal. But I honestly don't think that that was the producer's goal. I do think, however, that the rhetoric that came out of the Writers Guild may have spooked some of the people at the studio level, and they might have been worried that they were never going to get a deal and that there was always going to be a strike. I think if you talk to a lot of people, though, the strike was probably inevitable, that no matter what.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you, is whether you thought the producers wanted a strike, first of all.
No, I don't know if they wanted a strike, but I think everyone thought that it was inevitable. I think, honestly, I don't see that, there have been some cost savings that the producers have realized short-term by cutting some overall deals and doing some accounting, but, they're also losing a lot of momentum. A lot of TV networks have shows that were just starting to build up momentum, like CBS has a show called The Big Bang Theory that was on its way to becoming a big hit. It may still yet be a big hit when the strike is over, but it's lost some valuable momentum, and we'll never know. We'll never know if viewers will come back. I don't think they wanted the strike, but I think they knew all along this was the only way it was going to happen, because the writers needed to show that they were serious. And there are some people who think that the writers are still going to stay out on strike for many more months to really see how much they can get.
Well, we got to leave it there. Joe Adalian is co-TV editor for Variety. Next up, two Hollywood veterans talk about what the director's deal means, or should mean, for the writers. And, of course, your viewing pleasure. You're listening to The Business from NPR. Writers are looking closely at the deal the Directors Guild put together with studios last week, but they're also listening closely to the most influential members of the Guild, the television showrunners. These folks have been in a strange position from day one. They're writers who have a lot to gain from a better writer's contract, but they're also producers, often with profit participation in the shows they created, so they have a lot of incentive to get back to work. Meanwhile, movie writers have a bit of a different fish to fry. David Milch is one of those vaunted TV writer producers. He's a four-time Emmy winner who created NYPD Blue, Deadwood, and most recently, John from Cincinnati. Paul Haggis was a TV writer before he wrote and directed Crash, which won the Oscar for Best Picture in 2004. He created the TV program The Black Donnellys, and his most recent film is In the Valley of Elah. Guys, welcome to the business.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Paul, in addition to being a writer, you're a film director. So as a director, what do you think of your new deal?
You know, I've been going over it, and I think there are some good things about the deal. I think there are some advances made, and I'm pleased to see that. I would like to be more positive about it. I don't think it's the kind of breakthrough deal that others are discussing, that we should run through the streets with bells and leap into the air and be other people's arms and say, thank God we have a deal. I think there's some things in there that are good for the directors and may not translate for the writers. It's going to take a lot of thought, this deal.
So do you have any different reaction as a writer?
Yes, I totally agree with myself.
Interesting schizophrenia to explore on live radio.
Yeah.
The two halves of Paul Haggis.
I'll try to hold one opinion for now.
Okay. David, we're assuming you're not in the Directors Guild. I assume you're not, right?
Assume away, yep.
Okay. But as a TV writer and producer, what's your reaction?
Well, a pox on both their houses.
Oh, really?
I think that you know, the deal is fine. Its particulars elude my understanding, as do, you know, pretty much every deal.
Mm-hmm. We should run through them real quick. I mean, wage and residual bumps.
Please don't.
No, don't.
No, no. I've heard them. I have been the bearer of them, you know, and back and forth between the various parties. But, you know, there's an old gambling expression, you know, from before electricity: is the game worth the candle?
Mm-hmm.
And my reaction has to do mostly with the protraction of the strike, and there are an awful lot of lives which have been adversely affected, you know, to hear all of this stuff about the numbers in this deal, and not to hear any, you know, they've been playing with live ammo, and they've been acting like, you know, this is payback for, you know, historical grievances, or I don't know what.
Mm-hmm. But when you say that, you mean the Writers Guild, right?
Well, I think everybody has, mm-hmm, comported themselves in a way that has not shown a decent respect for the real dislocations and suffering of people who are, you know, innocent bystanders. This could have been done much, much, much more expeditiously. And
so if I hear you right, issues worth striking for, but not like this.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Right. I mean, you know, I don't want to suggest draconian alternatives, but believe me, if the people on both sides had family members who were suffering what people in other unions suffered, they would have gotten this done a lot more quickly.
Now, it seems like writers are often viewed as this big monolith, but in fact, there are at least, I can think of, four kinds of writers within the Guild. TV writers, TV writer producers like yourself, David, film writers, and film writer producers. And each has sort of a slightly different set of interests here. And I want to go to Paul here. You've been sort of all four of the above. Can you talk a little bit about the different stakes each of these groups might have in these negotiations?
Oh gosh, I mean, that's against. I have to agree with David on some things. The emotional toll of this film and this strike and well, forget the emotional toll, the financial toll, the people that have been suffering are this. It's just it's hard to talk about numbers when you then are talking about the fact that you know folks actors, writers, others are at the point of losing their houses.
Yeah,
I. But at the same time, I have to totally disagree with them because, you know, having been somebody, I met David first time in the late 80s, I think it was, David, that was a particularly tough strike we went through, and we ended up, well, I guess losing, and a lot of people lost their houses then. I mean, I was one of them. I was shortly after that. Lost mine because I couldn't keep it up. But at the same time, I don't think it's fair to say that no strike is worth it. In this case, people are always going to be hurt in something like this. And
I don't think I said no strike is worth it. I said that the way that this strike has been conducted, the luxuries of posturing which have been indulged in the absence of substantive exchange is contemptible. I absolutely believe in the worthiness of strikes. Mm-hmm. And as I've said, you know, the thing is that people, I believe in this strike, are so insulated on both sides from the realities and consequences of they're existing in a kind of virtual reality because there aren't a whole hell of a lot of people who are conducting these negotiations who literally are living from one paycheck to the next.
No, but there are a lot of people out of the picket line who are, and I've certainly met a lot of them from the very first day, of people who are either just joined the guild or who are freelancers who are making the sort of minimum the $40,000-$50,000 a year, sometimes less than some of these guys. I met a guy, two guys on the first week. One was a strike captain who had just gotten his first job and was living on someone's sofa, but was out there, you know, organizing for this and is still out there picketing. So I think it's unfair to say that everyone is so far removed from this that they're just saying, "Oh, let them eat cake."
Again, well, I think I'd ask you to have a precise understanding of what I said. I did not say that people on the picket lines.
No, I understand.
Did
that.
Not. What I said is that the people who are conducting this negotiation did so and with a cavalier disregard for the amount of time that they were spending jerking off.
Well, listen, guys, I think we can all agree that that writers are hurting and that strikes are bad. I think it sounds like both of you feel like the strike has been going on too long, even if the issues are worth striking for. I want to ask you.
I don't believe that. No, I don't think so.
You don't think that? You think it's?
No, I don't. I don't think the strike. I mean, yes, has the strike gone on too long? Any strike goes on too long. But I don't think you're going to say that.
Well,
I'm going to say that.
Well,
strike's gone too long.
Let's talk about what's being struck for, and I guess I want to ask each of you. You know, if you were both of you are very successful guys now, but if you were a staff writer on Hill Street Blues instead of master of the TV universe, now that you are David, or, you know, just some starting out film guy, what is it about this deal that you think is good, and what is really objectionable to you?
It's all good. It's all good. This is, and that's not to say that the producers have not tried to take advantage. The producers are selfish people, and their logic is purely numerical. But by the same token, I cannot relate to this. The 7% as a the 0.7% as opposed to the 1.2%, simply because, you know, there are people who have lost their jobs as a result of this, and they're never going to get them back.
Mm-hmm. So you think that the damage is done, and
the damage is done, and the marketplace invariably sets the parameters of the dispute. And let me say that this remains an enormously lucrative profession, and to compare it to other strikes is nonsense. The strikes of grocery workers relative to the strikes
of course, I think we'd all agree on that.
Well, okay, but then don't say no strike goes on too long. This is a strike.
No, I didn't think
by
I think
wealthy,
you
mis-
I misquoted you. I think you misquoted me there. I don't think no strike goes on too long.
I'm going to jump in here, guys, just for a moment and say, if you're just joining us, you're listening to The Business. We're talking with TV writer, producer David Milch, and film and TV writer, producer, and director Paul Haggis, that's a mouthful, about the supposedly landmark deal between Hollywood's directors and studios and networks, and of course, what it all means for writers and you. So, to jump back into it for a second, Directors Guild President Michael Apted said that it's important that producers recognize that the, quote, internet is not free. And yet, there's a 17-day window of free web streaming where programs basically are just aired without any payment to writers before residuals can kick in. So I guess my question is the internet free or not? Paul Haggis?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, it seems a little silly to me that if I have the option of showing something for the first 17 days, if I'm a company, and getting it for free, or waiting until the 18th day and paying, I think I'm going to probably run it like hell for 17 days. This is more of a TV issue than a film issue. David, what do you think?
Well, I think that events are going to overtake these puny discussions. The final predicate of whatever agreement was come to by the Directors Guild is we're going to revisit this in 3 years. And the truth is that the positions that are being staked out are so surrounded by contingency and imponderables, and that it was pointless to do the negotiation at this point. I think that the provisions that have now been worked out are fine. They were there 6 months ago, and if you'll indulge me for 45 seconds, I guess you have been already, but let me suggest that one of the great students of our business was a guy named Nathaniel West a number of years ago, and in an essay about West, W.H. Auden wrote, "To the self-centered man, other people only exist as images either of what he is or of what he is not. The self-centered man has feelings toward others only as projections of the pity he feels for himself or the hatred." And what I am suggesting is that this was a strike which was carried on as a kind of shadow play by very, very affluent people paying deference to an authenticity and a political correctness which they abdicate for 20-year periods and then make others suffer the consequences of when they make menopausal gestures toward an integrity that they have lost otherwise.
But David, what I'm wondering is, like, how do you really feel about this? I'm kidding. Here's another question I'd love to throw out to both of you. You know, even the biggest show on TV isn't downloaded enough to make anybody rich, let alone really any money. So, you know, why fight over digital when DVDs are going to be the main source of residual income for writers for probably the next 5 years?
Well, that's the thought, of course. And that's why this is all such.
Well,
forgive me, please forgive me.
No, not at all. I think probably because we lost that battle, and when the directors came in and negotiated the last great deal for us, we took an 80% rollback on that, and at that point it said, well, don't worry, we're going to revisit this when our costs go up, and we took an 80% rollback, but back when it made sense to do so, I guess. they said the costs are so high to produce VHSs that we need you to take an 80% rollback. And we said, oh, okay. And there's so little profit there. And there was no profit at the time. Then, of course, over the, very quickly, DVDs came in, and the costs of manufacturing went to almost nothing, as did the cost of distribution. And we came back and said, well, let's renegotiate now that we can, you've got this windfall. And they go, no, that's ours. What we have is ours, and it's ours because, well, it's ours. And I think you saw this time the thing that they wanted us to do, for the very first thing, just take this nonsense about another 4 cents in a DVD off the table, or they wouldn't speak to us. And we went, well, okay, fine. Since we think that, that there's a future in digital, we'll take that off. And then they said, nanny, nanny, boo, boo, and ran like children. We are taking this deal. We're looking into this deal with digital because we can't get video, the DVD. And I think this whole sunset provision is nonsense. I don't think...
You're talking about the provision that says basically no precedent is established by this deal,
yes,
should the directors agree to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's that's like two people saying, "Oh, yes, we didn't really make a deal. We won't refer to it in the future." I think it's just silly. Of course, they're going to try to hold us to this in the future, and of course, we're going to try to do better. But to say it's not precedential is silly. Is to say that we're getting 80% more on our DVDs than we are actually getting.
The short answer of why not ask for DVDs is you don't think you can get it. Period. End. Right?
Well, I'd be the one asking for DVDs.
Okay.
But you know.
Well, we're short on time here. Just 5 minutes remaining. So I'm going to go to David here and ask you, what do you think the strike has done to TV going forward? I mean, do you think real harm has been done to scripted TV in a way that's going to change it forever?
A scripted TV has done the real harm to scripted TV,
what do you mean by that?
I mean that most scripted TV is awful. And the reason it's awful is that, to a large extent, the writers have collaborated with the bosses in producing works of mind-numbing mediocrity. And that's what I'm saying about this. You know, writers who roll over every single day instead of sticking up for their material are now tough guys out on a picket line, and then they go back in and write the same crap. And what would sustain an audience on television has nothing to do with these negotiations. And everything.
I think those are kind of massive generalities, though, aren't they? I mean, don't you think there are probably some good writers out on the picket line too, who have integrity?
I think that's what I just said. I think there are plenty of good writers on the picket line. To be a good writer and to maintain your integrity are two different things. The fact that so much of the series that are on television, do you think that if the writers stood up with this kind of solidarity, we would have 10 programs with the exact same premise on every network?
I think talent and integrity are probably two different things. But I think I'm with you there. I think that we've been our own worst enemies as far as agreeing with the bosses.
And aren't we brave with the paychecks of members of Yahtzee when what would really create employment and what would really make television more lucrative, although it's obscenely lucrative as it is if we stuck to our lasts, if we did what we came out here to do, and not on a lark every so many years, say that being good writers is maintaining solidarity about issues which don't make a dime's worth of fundamental difference to us. It's a kind of pathetic play acting.
I don't mean to cut you off there, David,
but we're down to the last minute, and
Paul Haggis, you'll get the last word.
I don't know. I think that, you know, when we went into this, we were asking for, I think it was like $125 million. I did my math on that, and that comes out to about, $6,000 a person, which is, as you said, it's not, that's a lot of money for anybody. But now what the offer is I think they came to us with $1,000 a person, and now the DGA is celebrating it's $1,500 a person. So if you came to me with something and I said it costs $6 and you said I want $1 and I said, no, I need a little more, you say $1.50, I'm not going to jump up and down. It's I think it's a template. We'll see what happens.
David Milch is a four-time Emmy winner. He created NYPD Blue, Deadwood, and most recently John from Cincinnati. Paul Haggis was a TV writer before he wrote and directed Crash, which won the Oscar for Best Picture in 2004. He created the TV program The Black Donnellys, and his most recent film, still in theaters, I think, is The Valley of Elah. Guys, thanks for being on The Business. And that's The Business. Matt Holzman produced and edited today's program with production assistance from Ray Guarna. Our technical director was Phoebe Zimmerman. Our associate producer is Darby Maloney. You can listen to this or any past program online anytime at kcrw.com/thebusiness. You can also podcast the show on KCRW's site or through iTunes. Our email address is thebusiness@kcrw.org. The Business is produced by KCRW Santa Monica and distributed by National Public Radio. I'm Claude Brodesser-Ackner. We'll see you next week on The Business.